Amen. And when we said yes to the Lord, it wasn't just for a little bit. Amen. It wasn't just part-time, but it said all the way. Hallelujah, Jesus. Said I'm going all.
The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered them, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. May the Lord add a blessing to the reader of his word. The church said, so as I said, the Lord was dealing with me with this message concerning all last week, amen. And the praise team sings the song, I can't go back to the way it was. I can't go back to the way it used to be. Truly, God has been good. In spite of what we might be experiencing, God has been good. But the thought of our message is going to come out of this 66th verse, when Jesus says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Amen. Many of them went back and walked no more with him. And the question is, why these are his disciples? A disciple has to be what? A believer. You don't follow anyone unless you believe in them. What the scripture said, from that point, many of his disciples went back. And the Lord asked the 12, will you go also? Right? But earlier it said he knew who was going to betray him. And Peter spoke up. He said, where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Tonight, Jesus has all the words of eternal life. And we may not understand some of the direction he's taking us, but he knows what he's doing. So what we're going to deal with tonight, the message is, will you turn back when you don't understand? Will you turn back when you don't understand? Now, to understand that better, now let's go up to, we're going to start off in the 24th verse of the 6th chapter, 24th verse. Amen. Because Jesus says some things that just doesn't make sense, and we'll explain that a little further as we go. But when you don't understand, that's the time in life the Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. The problem that many have in church is when they don't understand, they go away from God. The scripture says, Luke, when the Lord is talking about as it was in the day of Noah and as it was in the day of Lot, in other words, life continued as it was. He says, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. He said, but remember Lot's wife. What happened to Lot's wife? She turned to a pillar of salt. Why? Her heart was bad. Amen. So that's an indication for the church, that no man have put his hand to the plow, and doing what? Looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Tonight, whatever we may be experiencing, don't allow your trial, don't allow the devil, don't allow the situation to make you, don't look back and don't turn back. Amen. I can't go back to the way it used to be. Peter writing, in the second chapter of Peter, he talks about not returning to the pollution of the world. Right? The way Peter referenced the world, he said the world is pollution. Pollution is that defiles us. Amen. It says, as the dog returning to his vomit. Because whenever we go back, it says our latter state is worse than the beginning. And Jesus said we will be 7 times worse. Amen. So we should have an to look back. Amen. God has been too good. Amen. So the question is, when you don't understand what God is doing, what are you supposed to do? Press forward. Amen. Song said we'll understand it better
by and by.
So don't look back. Whatever you're experiencing, don't even allow the devil to tempt you to look back. Amen. Peter says in the first Peter, I believe it's the first chapter, talking about the corruption that's in the world. In the second chapter, he calls it the pollution that's in the world. In other words, there's nothing in the world for a child of God.
Amen.
Pollution and corruption. It's not of God. So we must go forward. So the thing is, what do we do when we are confused in our mind and can't understand the events that are taking place? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. The 24th verse of this 6th chapter reads, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Now, early in this chapter, this is where Jesus feeds the 5,000 men, and he didn't tell us how many women and children were there, but he fed 5,000 of what? Five loaves? And this ain't a big loaf, right? These were just little barley loaves, little biscuits. He fed 5,000 and two fish. Now, they are looking for Jesus. Verse 25 says, and when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, whence comest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but you seek me because you did eat the meat and were. He said, you missed it. You're looking at the fleshy and the carnal, and that's why you're seeking me, but you missed the miracle. He says, you missed it. So tonight, we get confused a lot of times because we look at Jesus for the carnal. But the real miracle is in the spiritual. So he said, you're seeking me for the wrong reason. So now he uses the rest of the chapter to explain why they were seeking him for the wrong reason and to show that when your mind is carnal, you'll turn back. But if you stay spiritual, you'll follow Jesus. He said, my words are spirit and my words are life. Amen. So he said, your motives are wrong. Because if you have the right motives, you see Jesus in everything. And you are spiritual. But if you don't have the right motives, you're carnal. And you will miss what the Lord is trying to tell you. Just like Balaam when he went back to curse Israel. Remember God told him, he said, don't go. But he went what? Anyway. And the scripture lets us know 3 times the Lord stood in the way to slay him. Because he what? He missed it. He was going after greed. He was going after the gain. He was going after profit. He was going after what he could get. And he missed the mind of God. And in missing the mind of God, God was standing in the way to slay him. You know, Balaam had to be a pretty bad man. He had to be in bad shape. Because the donkey could see the Lord. But he couldn't see the Lord. You got to be in real bad shape. When an animal can see God, and you miss it, why? Wrong motives. Right. So tonight, many times, we miss the mind of God because we don't have the right motives. Amen. So Jesus goes on to say in verse 27, are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Verse 27, he says, labor not for meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Now, he went from the bread and the fish, and he's talking about everlasting life. Amen. Verse 28 says, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? But remember, their motives were wrong. Amen. And we're going to find out as we continue that this discourse of Jesus, they missed it. Amen. He says, verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he has sent. They said therefore to him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou? Wait a minute. Didn't he just feed 5,000 with 5 fish and 2 loaves? And the scripture said they had 12 fragments of 12 baskets of fragments left over, and they're going to ask him to show us a work? When your motives are wrong, you already missed the miracle. Right? The miracle happened to you and you missed the miracle because your motives are wrong. How are you going to ask him to show us your works when you already? So if we're not careful, our carnal minds will cause us to miss the miracles that God is performing all around us. Our carnal minds will make us miss it, that God has been keeping me. Day in and day out, when I didn't deserve it, God was still good. Hallelujah. Verse 31 says, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And they already missed it, because the miracle has already taken place. So the Lord continues the discourse and trying to explain to them, you're going the wrong way. Now listen, once you start off wrong, you cannot get right unless you get back on the right path. So a lot of people are trying to get back to God, but they're trying to do it their way. There's only one way to get back to God when you're going wrong. The Bible says, let the wicked forsake their ways. And a righteous man his thought, and let him what? Return to the Lord, and the Lord will have mercy. Lord, thank you. And God will abundantly pardon. But you got to do what? You got to turn. You can't keep going the wrong way to get to Jesus. It doesn't even make sense. How can you approach a righteous God in an unrighteous way? How do we do that? How do we approach a clean and a pure God with motives that aren't right? Because if we're going to read a little longer, early in the Bible said God already knew their thoughts. Right? So a lot of times we approach God and we approach him the wrong way. When things fall apart, we say, I knew it, we turn back. The problem was never God. The problem is the motives were wrong. Amen? First, 32 says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the... He said, you missed it. You're dealing with the carnal and sustaining your natural life, but we're now going into another realm. We're going into the spiritual and sustaining your spiritual life. So, if we're not careful, the Bible says the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary one to the other. So you cannot try to approach God through the flesh. You can only get to him through the spirit. And that's how so many churches are blind today. They're approaching God, but it's not through the spirit. Because as many as are led by the spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if the Spirit is not leading you, then who's son are you? Right? Because if God's Spirit is leading you, say, Lord, where you lead me, I will follow. And how far will you go? How far will you go? When things don't go your way, you don't get mad at God. Because you don't understand and say, things ain't going my way, so I'm going to. Don't turn back. Amen. God has been too good, and God has some stuff, but you're missing it because you're in your carnal, fleshly world. And the Bible said if we are carnal, you can read this in 8th chapter of Romans, it gives a whole indication. If we walk in the flesh and the carnal, we cannot please God. So we're trying to approach God our way, and we get upset because he's not happy with us. Just get in the spirit, amen, and you'll be all right. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am. I am bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we, but they missed him. Because their motives were wrong. So they're dealing with the Lord on a carnal basis when God is trying to bring them up to a spiritual, another spiritual plane. When God is trying to take us into the spiritual, we stay in the carnal, we will miss it every time. How is it then that he says, I came down for heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, all this stuff you're saying among yourself, he said, you need to stop it. You know sometimes how we approach God? The Bible says he already knew their thoughts. Right? So they're murmuring. Jesus said, you just need to stop all that foolishness. Right? He already knows what's in us. God knows our thoughts before we think it. Because the Bible says, have to declare the end from the beginning. And known unto God are all of his words from the beginning. Before this day ever occurred or even took place in our lives, God already knew it was going to take place. Right, so God already knows. And all God asks us to do is just to try to walk in his will and to walk in the light. Amen? Jesus therefore said, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me, draw him. And I will raise him up at the... See, they keep talking about the present. But the Lord keeps taking them to the last days. Don't allow this present world to confuse you. The Bible says, be not conformed. Be not conformed. But be ye. They didn't want to be transformed, so they couldn't get past the present to see what he was going to do in the future. Because they were carnal minded. Amen. As it is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Every man therefore that has heard and has learned of the Father cometh to me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believeth on me and he said, I am. I am the bread of life. Now, start paying attention now because this is where they really get upset with her. All right? Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven that a man may eat thereof. And so we're comparing two different breads. Their whole focus was on the manna, which was the natural bread. The Lord said, I'm trying to bring you into another plane which is no longer in the natural, but I want you to cross over into the spiritual. But it's hard to comprehend the spiritual when you're caught. Because God is trying to open up a new thing, but you're still back there. Right? How in the world is Jesus? This is almost so many thousand, I forgot how many thousand years later between Moses, like 3,000 years later. And they can't go forward because they're still in the what? Talking about the manna. Thousands of years ago when the Lord is trying to bring them up to today. That's why it's so important, saints of God, that we must forget the things which are behind us. God is trying to open up new doors. God is trying to make new ways. God is trying to take you to a new spiritual level. But you can't get there if you stay in yesterday. Amen. You got to come up with the Lord. He says, in verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give unto the life, give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh? Now these are the Jews. And we're going to bring out something a little later about the Jews. All right? So he said, wait, the Jews, wait a minute. He wants us to be cannibals? Now the Lord is not speaking in the natural, he's speaking in the what? But they missed it. Because their motives were wrong. Right? You can give your body to be burned. Be so all your good to feed the poor. And the Bible says it will profit you. Because the motives are, God forbid in church, the saints of God come to church with one objective, their personal agendas. And they miss what God wants them to do. Because their motives are wrong. If you're going to approach God with all your heart, the right way. Amen. Don't approach God any other way. Don't try to approach God trying to please anyone else. Our whole desire should be to please who? God. So the reason many people turn back when you don't understand is they lose focus of who they who called them. They lose focus on who they're supposed to be pleasing. Amen. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And I will raise him up. And this is the third time he's taking them to the what? They couldn't get to the last day because they couldn't get past where they are. Right? The scripture says, I have not seen, ear have not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that when we can't get to the preparation, because we can't get past where we are. So God has great things past our understanding, but we can't get there because we are stuck in the car. If we can never get out the car, if we can never get out the flesh, the things that we can see. So he goes on to say in verse 55, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Now the Jews right there, they are confused. They're like, we want to get to heaven, but we don't want to be carnivals. Alright? Verse 15 said, this cannibals, not carnivals. Carnivals when you go out for, I'm sorry, cannibals. Sometimes you gotta get it right. Can't put the N with an R to me. Right? Cannibals. Alright? This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this saying, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Now, he said he was dealing with the who? Jews. He was dealing in the synagogue. So now this is what the carnal mind was thinking. In Leviticus, the 17th chapter, the 14th verse, God tells them, he said, don't eat the blood, because the blood is the life. And he deals with them by eating the flesh. Because back in the heathen days, what the pagan, and this was a pagan practice, this is where they got confused. They said, wait a minute, this can't be God telling us to be treat him like a pagan. Right? Because what the pagans did is what they would do when they would conquer their enemies is they would eat their flesh and drink their blood because that, they believed that gave them power over them. Right? So it was a pagan practice. But in the Leviticus, the book, This is what happens when you don't understand. Right? When you don't understand, you turn back. So they say, wait a minute. How are you telling us to go against the Bible and do something? Because they missed it. Even even in a lot of societies today, Idi Amin was a typical one. What they believe in is this. If you want power over your enemy, you have to eat their flesh and drink their blood. Y'all remember Idi Amin, right? Right? When they finally called up to him, he had refrigerators and freezers full of people's bodies, blood, flesh. Y'all know Idi Amin, right? Right? Because he believed that gave him power over the people. Right? And a lot of people today, if they want to be as strong as a bull, you know what they do? They go out and kill a bull and drink the blood because they mean they give them power. So what they were thinking, wait a minute. The Lord is asking us to do something pagan to follow him? Absolutely not. They missed it. Right? Well, how do we know? Let's go to St. John the 4th chapter. And we're going to read a couple of verses here. And start with verse 31. So they missed it. The Lord was not telling them to be cannibals. He was not telling them to go contrary to the scriptures, but he was trying to show them something spiritual. But they missed it. Look at somebody and say, don't miss it. The only way you miss it is if you walk in your flesh and not in the spirit. Never in the history of the church are people more afraid of man than they are of God. People will do anything to please a man, even at the point of letting God down. But verse 31 of the 4th chapter reads, now we know this, Jesus already told them about the true worshipers worship God in what? Spirit and the truth. Not in spirit and in falsity, not in spirit of your private agenda, but it has to be in truth. For the eyes of the Lord running to and fro throughout the there's no place that God can't find you if your heart is right. This is what the Bible says. You know, that's why people start saying, well, I just don't understand. The problem is never in God. We have to do an inner inspection. Right? Because God's eyes are running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect. The problem that God had with Asa, he said, he and his thou done foolish. Right? If you read about it in 2 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, he said, you've done foolishly. Because you went to man and you forgot God. You left God out. He said, you've done foolishly. Amen. That's the 5th and the 16th chapter. I think 2 Corinthians 16:9 is where he tells him the eyes of the world. But anyway, verse 31 says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed to him, saying, Master, this is after he had met the woman at the well. Amen. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not. Now, the disciples kind of missed it. They missed it, right? Because Jesus was dealing on a spiritual plane. But they were trying to bring him down to the natural. He therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him out to eat? Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to that's the meat. That's what he was trying to tell them when he said, eat my meat, eat my flesh, and drink my blood. He said, just do his will. That is the meat. That is the bread. So tonight, how many of us just want to have everlasting life? You have to do his will. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish. Right. Well, if you turn back, can you finish? If you stop following God, how can you finish? Paul said, I fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. You can't finish if you miss it. You can't finish if you're not led by God's Spirit. Now let's go to Acts the 20th chapter. Now we're talking about not turning back when you don't understand. Amen. The good thing about God, God is so faithful. God will never, ever lead us in a way that be destructive. So the thing is this, in our private time, in our prayer closet, in our secret closet, when we pray to God, I noticed a lot too long ago. You know why God wants us to get in our closets to pray, even though it's not a physical closet? It means a place of isolation. It's because when you're always praying in a group, you don't hear God speak to you directly. Right? So God had to get them. Right? Where did John the Revelator get his great vision of these last days? On the Isle of Patmos when he was with everybody else. He was what? Alone. When God was dealing with Daniel, and Daniel was praying for his sin and the sin of the people, where did God speak to him? When he was in a group or when he was alone? That's why Daniel continued to pray, because that's how God speaks to us. We miss it when we search everything else but God. So God said, enter the secret closet. And your Father, which heareth in secret, will reward thee openly. But he said, you got to seek me. Now what happened when we pray in the crowd and self, you know, and people say, oh, I can feel your prayer. Everybody don't feel what God wants you to feel. So it's sometimes you got to get by yourself. And you got to moan and groan before God. You got to seek after God, not in the crowd. Because then, in your quiet time, God is able to speak to you. But just imagine, you ever pray, and a lot of people pray, and you're like, God, I'm trying to hear what you're saying, but I can't hear what you're saying because I heard what you're saying, right? You know, some people that get really, really loud. And you be like, man, I told y'all how I used to pray. But I ain't going to tell y'all because y'all may try and figure it out. But anyway, it's important when you pray, get along with God, right? Your greatest message from God will be when you're alone. The whole book of Revelation came to John when he was alone. God spoke to Moses on the backside of the mountain when he was alone. We always want to have somebody pray with us. It's good for people to pray with you, but it's important for you to pray. And Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to turn around. Faith means you quit, you stop, right? Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you don't faint. Amen. Paul tells the Corinthian church, having this ministry, therefore, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Fainting is quitting, it's giving up on God. We have to go forward, amen. Acts the 20th chapter. And what we don't understand, and others don't understand, it's important that we still gotta follow the Lord, we still gotta trust Him, even when we don't understand. So Paul, we know, is one of the greatest of all the apostles. In the 22nd verse, Paul says, and now behold, I go bound, as long as you're in the Spirit, you're all right. Amen. As long as you're in the Spirit, you're all right. But the minute you get in the flesh, you will miss the mind of God. And even when God is leading you, you will go opposite of God, because the flesh is what? Contrary to the Spirit. So the Spirit is directing you, but you keep going the opposite direction and you get frustrated and aggravated because you miss the mind of the Spirit. Amen? And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, except that the Holy Ghost, God has already showed me through the Holy Ghost. And every city saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But I know God has already God needs to speak to someone in the Spirit. And in the Spirit, we will let go of our ways. And we will be as Jesus. Jesus finally told us, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. That's in the Spirit. But the flesh kept saying, Lord, if it be possible, let this hour pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will. So that was a fight. That was a what? That was the flesh, and that was the spirit. Because the flesh said, if we hold it back, everybody's going to be doomed to hell. But the spirit said, if he persevere, then we all have a right to the tree of life. So that was a struggle. That struggle was so bad in the 22nd chapter of Luke, it said that Jesus got to the point that he prayed to his blood, to his sweat became what? Great drops of blood. Trying to get the victory. Listen, this is how, you want to know how to pray? The Bible said Jesus prayed so hard that God said, I'm going to send some angels to help you. They sent angels to minister to him because he was agonizing so in the spirit. That's when you got a hold of God. Somebody said, I'm not going to let him go till he what? Till he bless me. But we will miss it if we stay in the flesh. So Paul said, but none of these things move me. This is when you really sold out. It's not about me, but it's all about Jesus. Neither can I my life dear unto myself. That's when you are sold out. That's when it's all about God. Amen. Unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Now, you know what the biggest, our biggest problem is trying to follow God is walking in the flesh. Because as long as we're in the flesh, we walk according to the wisdom of man and not the wisdom of God. Now, let's go to, we're going to close off here in 1 Corinthians, the 18th chapter. All right, we'll close off here. Tonight, my whole desire is to follow God. We sing a song, No Turning Back. No, the cross before me, the world is behind me. No turning back. Jesus took my heavy load. Now I'm on that. How many on the glory road? If you're on the glory road, stay on. Don't allow anything to make you turn back. Don't allow anything to cause you to turn around. Amen. Stay on your glory road. The Bible says many of the afflictions of the, as long as you live right, you're going to have fights. Right? Just keep pressing. Don't quit. Don't give up. Say, I don't understand, but one thing I do know. I'm like Job, man. Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. There's some things we need to know. And that he shall stand the latter days upon the end of the earth. So I don't like what I'm going through, but I'm going to wait till my, don't quit, don't turn around, don't go the opposite way, but just stay the course. Amen. Like we said last week, it's time for the church to lock in. When you get locked in, ain't a devil in hell that can stop you. I heard Jesus say, thou art Peter, and I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom, and not even the gates of hell shall prevail. Why? Because I'm going to be with you. We're never alone. Verse 18 of 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. Says, for the preaching of the cross is unto them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is a. So now we're dealing with the carnal and the spiritual. In the carnal, preaching the cross is foolish. In the spiritual, it's the power of God unto salvation. Amen? For it is written, I will destroy. God said, wait a minute. Don't go by this world's wisdom. Don't go by the wisdom of man, because he said, I'm going to what? I'm going to destroy that. Amen. Whatever you're thinking, God said, I'm going to destroy that. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of what? Is not the fear of what people can do or take from you, but the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. He goes on to say, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made the wisdom of this world? God makes that foolish. Amen. So how can we follow God following the world when he has made that That's why our minds have to be transformed. We can no longer conform to this world. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Amen. Verse 21 says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, and pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require signs, and the Greeks say, everybody's looking for something. All you have to do is just follow Jesus. But we preach one is seeking a sign, and another is seeking wisdom. He said, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jew a stumbling block, and unto the Greek foolishness. They don't understand the preaching of the cross. Amen. Verse 24 says, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the... So Christ is not only the power of God, he is also the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is... Somebody say, you're foolish to be saved. It's wiser than men. Someone still be saved. Because it's wiser. So the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the... is... stronger than me. So as long as you stay in God, you're wiser and you're stronger. The minute you turn back, you lose it. Right? As long as you're in Christ, you're stronger and you are. Sometimes we wonder, how do I get so weak? Because you get out of Christ. Stay in Him. Amen. And you will be wiser. For you see your calling, brethren, not how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble at all. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to what? Don't walk by your understanding. Your understanding is limited. You know, we always say God has three attributes, right? What are his attributes? God is omnipotent, which means what? Omnipotent means what? All powerful. If it's all powerful, it ain't nothing else compared to that, right? This is, we're talking about God. So he's omnipotent, he's omnipresent, and he's what? That's why I wonder sometimes how people think they can sneak in, God don't see him. If he, now we say this, but in our spiritual hearts, we don't actually believe it. Because if we know that God is omnipresent, then we are saved at all seasons, because he never misses us. Then the Bible says, he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleep. So he sees us, he's not omnipotent, and he's omniscient. Means what? All. So if I'm going to do anything, I'd rather be with one that has all the power, everywhere at the same time, and know everything. Isn't that logical? But the devil has blinded us that we follow those that are limited. We follow those that don't know much, and we follow those that are weak. Man can't even help himself. So when we're in our hour of desperation, why do we go to man? Let me finish this up, because my time is always almost up. Amen. So he goes on to say in the verse 28, and the base things of the world and things which are despised has God. You know, if any of us look at our lives according to the world standard, guess what? None of us will be saved. Seriously. If you know, we know our past. So we can sugarcoat it for other people. But we know the real us. Before God saved us and changed us, when we look, if you look at you like you used to be, you say, I'm telling about me. I said, God, I wouldn't have saved me. Because when I looked, there were so many more people that were what? Better than I was. But God took the things that were despised. That which the world would consider an outcast and nothing. And God said, made something beautiful out of our lives. Because he's omniscient, all-knowing God. And God can do anything but fail. Hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things were nothing. Still are nothing, but by the grace of God. Paul said, all that I am by the grace of God. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye, just stay in Christ. Don't turn back when you don't understand. Say, Lord, I don't understand, but I trust you. And this is the difference between those that follow God. All of us reach a crossroad where we don't understand. The scripture said we are perplexed, but not in despair. We don't lose hope because we know who we believe in. And we are persuaded. I know who God thank you. I know who I believe. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That's the persuasion. Paul said, I'm persuaded neither death, nor life, nor hell, nor principalities, nor thing present, nor thing to come, nor any other creature. Wherever separate me as we all stand from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Tonight is so important to understand that where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. I can't turn back. I don't care how difficult things will get. One day I want to see him for myself. Amen. I refuse to allow any individual to cause me to act contrary to all contrary. As long as I'm in the Spirit, as long as I'm pleasing God, I know that everything is going to be all right. How many know everything is going to be all right? Don't lose your spiritual focus. Yes, we can get knocked down, set back. But in your worst, be like Job. Job said, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall return thither. He said, the Lord may give, and the Lord may take away, but most of all, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Bible said, in all this, Job still had a mind to worship. Worship and said, Lord, you are my affection. Lord, you are my greatest desire. Lord, my heart is fixed. My mind is made up. I got to make heaven my home. Hallelujah.
Can we sing hallelujah?